The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Sarah Spain, L. Duncan, Frank Isola, you know what we call today? Overreaction yep. Monday. That's what we
That's
call
right, baby.
And it's great to have you here. That's an overreaction, you see, an example. We'll be talking about the Cowboys. You can overreact to a lot of what they did. And the Browns and the Eagles. But we start with Tom Brady's debut in Tampa Bay. In one word, yell it out. That debut was Winstonian. Jamesian. Jameis Winston threw an NFL record 7 pick-sixes last year. And then in the first game, Brady throws one as well. 2 interceptions for the game in the loss. And we're going to start with Bruce Arians because he missed no words after the game, put both interceptions squarely on Brady. Then today, kind of took back the first interception, said maybe it was on Mike Evans. But also, quote, he looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time. So it's kind of unusual to see that in a ball game because they didn't do things that we didn't get ready for. Bruce Arians, it's Overreaction Monday. Are you guys overreacting or is Bruce Arians overreacting? L. Duncan, what was Tom Brady's major malfunction?
Yeah, Bruce Arians, I think, is overreacting a little bit. This is the first time ever maybe practice Tommy's been called more determined and with more grit than actual game time Tommy. That's odd. But Tom Brady, leading up to this week, we all thought he was being modest. He was just obviously being realistic. He's the one that said, like, he still didn't have a firm grasp on the playbook or timing or chemistry down with any of his receivers. Relax, because here's the one positive thing to this whole thing, right? Like, I think everybody thought Tom Brady was just going to show up, be Jameis Winston, put up Jameis Winston numbers, minus all the miscues, and just be more accurate. But the truth is, for 29 of his 36 pass attempts, he had a clean pocket, so more than adequate blocking.
Yeah.
He had 70% completion rate, threw 2 touchdowns, yes, those 2 interceptions as well, for 200 yards. Like, he's a game manager at this point in his career, and that's okay because Kirk Cousins has made a lot of money doing just that.
True, but back to Bruce Arians today. He wants to see more grit and determination from Tom Brady. He said that, Frank Isola. How do you hear that from his coach?
Yeah, I want to hear what Mrs. Brady thinks of Bruce Arians going after a husband like that. I guess we missed those press conferences when Bill Belichick would say, we're on to Carolina. That's not what Bruce Arians said. I think it's important because, you know, this is a win-now team, obviously, and now you're telling the entire locker room, if I can go after Tom Brady, I can go after you. Tom Brady was not good enough. That pick six, no excuse for that. He's done that now in 3 straight games. Mm-hmm. He needs to mm-hmm. get better. What happened to all these workouts that he was having, Tony, that we heard about at the high school with all his receivers? I thought he was getting working. It was not good enough. I think it'll get better, but you have to be a little discouraged with the way that he's played the last few games, a couple with the Patriots, including the playoffs, and the way that he played yesterday.
So you don't believe it's an overreaction to say this was a discouraging performance. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in. The question was, wait till Tom Brady gets weapons. Well, he has weapons, and what did you see in his week one?
Well, first of all, Mrs. Brady's not responding to anything except for what Elle said, that Kirk Cousins has made a lot of money that way. They're not worried about money, Elle. Mrs. Brady's got that taken care of, okay? He, if anything, yep. he just wants another couple of titers before he's gone. I think even Bruce Arians isn't overreacting. Tom's going to have to get used to a guy who's much more open and frank with reporters. He's going to give out information. He's going to tell you what he's actually thinking. And in this case, that's what he was thinking about Tom's performance. The only people who are going to overreact are gas bags like us that are going to love the idea that Bill won without him and Brady couldn't win without mm-hmm. his coach. Mm-hmm. It's week one, especially with this offseason. You got to give this Bucs team time, a new offense, the weapons. Those miscues probably come from comfortability with those guys. He just got there. Everyone chill.
Okay, but Rob Gronkowski was there. They played a few games together before. They weren't working it to Gronkowski. And I was watching the game, and the end of the call, Troy Aikman, doing a great job as always, said, this is the NFC title game. That's an underreaction if you're viewing it from Tampa. I mean, what did Tampa show you yesterday, Sarah Spain?
I think that this is exactly what I expected from them. I think it takes a couple weeks for them to start firing in all cylinders because of all the new parts and because it's just a guy who spent two decades somewhere and needs to adjust without having any preseason games. I think they will be a wild card team. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think by the end of the season, they'll be somebody to have to contend with.
L. Duncan, can this team contend for whatever it is they want? Yeah, Super Bowl, clearly, they brought in Brady for that while he's a game manager.
They can, unless, of course, happens yesterday and continues to happen, which is the running game let them down. That's what it, Ronald Jones can't have 66 yards. Tom Brady doesn't have it anymore to be a one-dimensional offense and do what they expect him to do and lead them to a Super Bowl. That run game has got to step up, and they did not yesterday.
Wow. Is that what you would have said last year if a quarterback on Tampa Bay threw a pick six? Spoiler alert, he did seven times, and they lost the game? No, everybody would have blamed Jameis Winston. Last word, Frank Isola.
Well, you know, we all make fun of, or some people do, make fun of the Patriot way. The Buccaneers had nine penalties for 103 yards. That's an undisciplined team. So Tom Brady, maybe he's known with the warm weather. He's not in New England anymore. After that first game, he now knows that he's got to be better. The entire team needs to be better, have a chance.
We'll get to the Patriot way, although it's a new Patriot way now in a bit. I want to talk about Sunday night, last night's game, L.A. and Dallas, and this one play. This one play changes the whole game. I want to know what you're calling here. Offensive pass interference. There was 31 seconds left in the three-point game. That would have put Dallas in field goal range to tie, a couple chances in the end zone to win. Gallup with the offensive pass interference, effectively ending the game. Rams 20, Cowboys 17. Frank, is that offensive pass interference?
You know, to me, Tony, that looks like standard wide receiver, defensive back, jostling for position on that one. You know, I give the referee, Tony Correnti, credit. He came out and said after the game, it's clear and obvious. I'm not buying that. I don't think it was clear and obvious. That, to me, first of all, he kind of pushes off with the back of his hand. How much can you really push off and create that separation? He was already separated enough, probably would have caught the ball anyway. I did not like that call. Okay. I thought Jalen Ramsey did a pretty good job selling it as well.
But did you give Correnti credit for coming out and saying it, and you disagreed with it? Okay. L. Duncan, you were shaking your head no.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was offensive pass interference. I just disagree with Frank in that, like, I don't think that it was, you know, as cut and dry and clearly a miscue. Like, you cannot extend your arm. Michael Gallup made a mistake there. I'm sorry. You cannot extend your arm and put it on the shoulder of the defender. It was a mistake because it was unnecessary. He had Jalen Ramsey, one of the best shutdown corners in the league, beat. You didn't need to do it. They're going to call that every time. You hate that they called it then, but Tony, you started out the segment by saying, and this cost them. No, what cost them was Mike McCarthy decided to do something that nobody all last season decided to do, and that is try.
The fourth and three play.
Correct. Nobody had done that in the fourth quarter, inside the red zone all last year, and Jason Garrett had never done it. Why do that?
Do you have the probabilities at the top of your head, the stats there, what it would be for a field goal and what it would be for going for it on fourth down? Do you happen to know what it was?
I have no idea what the probability 49%.
Was. 4 versus 47.2.
Sarah's got it. 47% to 47%. Wow. Well, let's bring in Sarah Spain and award her with all the points, the stat Khaleesi, as she's known on this show. You can address Dallas going for it on fourth down there or that call. Go ahead, Sarah.
I'm going to address both of them because I just gave Elle so many looks during that segment.
Okay.
She didn't see. Number one, it is pass interference. And if your argument for a call is don't call it then, it's a terrible argument because the call should be the same throughout the game, as much as it might be tough to make that call late in the game. If you have an extended arm to create separation, they're going to call it every time. And Elle is right about one thing. He didn't need to do it. Yeah. And the problem is it draws so much attention when you have full extension, they're not going to be able to ignore it. As for that call, I love it. You're at the 11, so you have a really good opportunity to actually punch it in, and then you've got tons of time to be able to kick later from a much further distance out and still be able to get that three. We always love to criticize after the fact when things don't work, but that was the right call. His offense was cooking. He felt good about it. He wanted to give them some confidence early on and had plenty of time to come back around. It just didn't work, and they're not always going to work.
Okay, I want to get the numbers right because there was some crosstalk. 47% chance to win the game.
47.4.
If you kick the field goal, 47.4.
Yeah, and 47.2
if you go for it on fourth down.
A lot of cross.
Well, bring back in L. Duncan.
Tony, here's the only number you need to know. Do you know how many game-winning drives Dak Prescott orchestrated for the Cowboys last year? Zero.
It was zero.
Zero. So why give up the points when you don't trust that you've got a quarterback that can lead you down the field and put points?
That being said, it would have only tied the game then, and you would still need Dak to do what he didn't do just last year, L. Duncan.
Well, I don't know his overtime
We need to move on, but I want some moments here on the LA Rams. Did the Rams in any way look like the team that they looked like 2 years ago to you, Frank? And did Goff in some way?
Well, Goff played well, but Aaron Donald, I mean, the guy's a one-man wrecking ball. Look what he did to Dak Prescott, who, by the way, was 1-for-7 on third downs. We spent all of offseason talking about how much Dak Prescott's going to make. It sounded like we were more concerned about Dak Prescott's salary than our own salary. He did not play well, and Aaron Donald had a lot to do with that. That guy is an absolute one-man force.
Statistically, Goff was getting rid of the ball a lot quicker than he was last year, more similar to what it was 2 years ago when they made the Super Bowl. One more story here to talk about. Let's get to that new Patriot way. All right, Cam Newton in his New England debut, 15 of 19, which is an incredible percentage. But it's the 15 carries he had, a career-high 15 carries. And the team ran it 42 times. Sarek in a run-heavy Newton-Belichick-McDaniels marriage, which I guess is an open marriage, work in 2020.
Thank you for making me think of that before I need to answer this question.
No judging.
Yes. The answer is actually yes. I got distracted by Bill Belichick in an open marriage.
No judging. Yeah, no judging.
Here's the thing. You totally can change this offense in ways that you couldn't with Tom Brady, because we saw a perfect example of this last night. They had Cam in the shotgun with White to his right, and the defenders had to make sure that they, if they wanted to stay put on Cam because they were worried about him running, then that frees things up for the running back. If they decide they're not worried about Cam and they shift to White, now Cam's got all this open space. That was not a threat that Tom Brady was going to give you. So it opens up the run game, and assuming that Cam, and we need to see a little bit more, is healthy in all aspects of his game and can still hit those deep threats, it just offers McDaniels so much more to work with. I know that sounds crazy when you lose an MVP like Brady, but it's just a different look. It'll be interesting.
So what's your grade overall for this first impression from Newton and the Patriots? You giving it an A, an A-minus, a B-plus?
B-plus.
Okay.
B-plus.
Elle, how about you?
Yeah, I would give it a B+. I just feel like it's not sustainable. Like, it was great to see, and I love that he put up all those historic numbers for a running back to prove how futile that position has been. The dual quarterback thing hasn't been a thing in the Patriots for many, many decades, apparently. But the guy had 13 runs, designed runs. That was a career high. He is coming off of a foot surgery. I don't understand why then is the time that you choose to employ that, especially facing a Dolphins defense who is one of the worst pass defenses all of last season. These people were terrible yesterday. And so I just don't think that it was fun to watch. It's not sustainable. He's going to get hurt.
Okay. Frank Isola, how'd you grade Newton week one?
I'm giving it an A because he had lost his last 8 starts, and I think that's the thing here. The Patriots needed this game. He needed this game. Remember, New England lost their final 2 games of last season to Miami and then Tennessee as well. But running 15 times to a guy, to Elle's point, who has spent so much time injured. Yes, it can work for 1 week. They're going to have to mix it up a little bit more than that. When he's running and getting hit like that, you know, you could tell that he was enthused, he was into it, but for 16 games, be very careful playing like that.
Time to find out what we messed up, Stat Boy. Well, it was me. Stat Boy messed it up. It's second most of Cam Newton's career, 15 runs. Yeah, he once went above that number. All right, taking a break right here. Pete Carroll, a revolutionary idea. Let Russ throw the ball. And the sneakiest, most dangerous team in the NFL this year, the Arizona Cardinals. Stick around.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome to Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. His touchdown run was a designed play, and it was beautiful. His turnover in the fourth was not designed. It was not beautiful. And his two-minute drill put the Bengals in position to win it until the OPI on A.J. Green, and in position to tie it until the missed field goal. Chargers 16, Bengals 13 for the game. Burrow 23 for 36, 193 yards, 46 rushing, and a pick. Sarah, what's the takeaway from Joe Burrow's debut?
As they were trying to get that two-minute drill done, I said, whatever happens in the next few seconds, I'm just so happy for Bengals fans. They know they got a real one here. As someone who's been looking for a quarterback, they can be excited about the future. And I didn't mean for it to end on his gimme kick. That's not really what I was expecting. But then they showed him looking up at the scoreboard with this look, and I was like, you know what it's like to be in the pros now, kid. You got this out of the way, and hopefully it'll just be excitement going forward of what could happen going forward.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, I hated the interception. I hated the call on A.J. Green, but Sarah and Elle are going to tell me it's the letter of the law, letter of the law. I don't like that call at all. But to his credit, he did drive them down. I also like the fact that he was disappointed after the game. Here's a guy, all he did at LSU was win. Disappointed in the way that he played, disappointed in the result, that's a good sign.
Right. At LSU, he never threw a pass that looked like that interception in the fourth quarter his entire season last year. Wait, you don't think that was offensive pass interference on A.J. Green? Man, I got to have Frank rep in some of my flag football games. This is incredible. No flags whatsoever. Elle, do you believe that was OPI on Green?
It was 100% OPI. I didn't want it to be as such. I wanted to have that great storyline. And, well, A.J. Green's a former dog. So, no, I didn't want it to be. It was absolutely textbook. He pushed off. Like, you can't do that. But the Bengals should feel good about Joe Burrow. Because you know what? When you have absolutely zero preseason games, so zero grasp of how fast an NFL game is, you know the D-line you don't want to face in your first maiden voyage? One that features Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram on it. So, yeah,
good
he
point.
Definitely had a tough day. But he came down the field at the end. He showed a lot of resolve. I think they should feel really good about what they've got.
We move on. Buy or sell too. I told you, Pete Carroll's revolutionary idea. Let Russ throw the ball. 31 of 35, four touchdowns. Seattle rolled Atlanta. The Packers, with Rodgers throwing the ball, 364 and four touchdowns. They drilled Minnesota. And Lamar Jackson, not surprising. The Browns, not surprising. But when it hits your lips in week one, it is kind of intense. Frank Isola, whose first impression means most?
You know, I feel badly for Lamar Jackson because, unfortunately, I'm only going to judge him on how he does in the postseason. We've seen him have tremendous regular seasons before. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers, but the Packers have kind of flown under the radar. So we're always trying to put all these quarterbacks, whether it's Watson, Dak Prescott, we're all trying to put them in the Mahomes category. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, they're there. The rest of the crew, they're all chasing.
Elle Duncan?
Okay, well, the Falcons defense was playing man coverage like it was zone, so let's pump the brakes a little bit there. Aaron Rodgers was really good, and I don't think anybody's surprised that. But I can't stand that we always, like, yawn at greatness. Like, Tony, even you said it, like, yeah, Lamar Jackson just being Lamar Jackson. Not necessarily. Yeah. I was most impressed with him because his ability to throw deep was an issue and concern last year.
Right.
He was 9-for-10 on throws 10 yards or deeper yesterday, so I thought that was a really promising look at a part of his game he's been focusing on.
Statistically, it was 80% completion, and it was 11 yards per attempt. You're right. That's not just
Lamar Jackson.
It was the Browns. Sarah Spain, you want to join in here?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk about the Browns, but I wanted to first mention the one thing to keep an eye on with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. It was a great, spiteful entry back into the NFL for him. But 17 targets for Devontae Adams, and 6 was the next most. So just keeping an eye on whether teams decide, okay, that's your guy. Now let's really test and see if you have weapons or not. So I'm keeping an eye on that. But also the Browns, you said it's not surprising when the Browns. That's so sad, though. They get a new coach. You got Baker Mayfield that you feel like, okay, let's see that accuracy we used to get into. All these weapons. I still have a hope, and they keep letting me down. What's going on?
And they let you down so quickly. You know, it's like gradually and suddenly. Yeah. It's the first drive, and it's a turnover. We'll move on. You talking about targets. You like the number of targets that Rodgers and Devontae had. How about Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, their first game together? Sure, throw it 19 times. That looks like there might be something there. Arizona played from behind all game, but Murray with his feet taking the lead late, and then Garoppolo not being able to get over Peterson's helmet for the game winner. Another Super Bowl loser opening a season 0-1. Elle Duncan, just one result in the NFC West or something more?
I think it's just one result. Like, you can never sort of overestimate how good divisional opponents play each other. But I would definitely not be underreacting to, yet again, a Kyle Shanahan-led team that disappears in the second half. How you don't target George Kittle, I know he got hurt, but he came back in that game. And how you don't target him one time in the entire second half, despite the fact you weren't getting really good a lot from your backfield, and despite the fact you have no receivers, I just don't understand.
All right, so you're not willing to call it overreaction Monday, but you said not underreaction Monday in your answer. It's not underreaction. Sarah Spain?
I'm going to go with also level-headed and even-keeled reaction on this. It was exciting. I am so pumped to see a guy with the athleticism and the feet of Kyler Murray paired up with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's so explosive. I think it's going to be super fun. I think they're going to be in it. But again, I think that's a really tough division, and I don't know if they're quite ready to take that next step to being a playoff.
They just beat the team that made the Super Bowl last year. Frank, was this more about Arizona or San Francisco?
Well, I hated the play calling from San Francisco late in the game, but I'm trying to butter up to you, so I'm going to jump on the Arizona bandwagon as well. When you have two receivers like Hopkins and Fitzgerald, that's pretty darn good. Two good guys to surround a young quarterback with, absolutely.
Oh, man, you're telling me you're buttering up to me. That'll get you everywhere. I mean, come on now. Kyler Murray, how could you not be in love with him in his second year? That was enough to pass Sarah Spain in the right lane, Frank Isola. See? Sarah, give us a goodbye.
I can't believe he admitted his tactics.
L. Duncan, Frank Isola, showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When they blew their 16-point lead in Game 5, it was under cover of Celtics-Raptors Game 7. When they blew their 19-point lead yesterday afternoon, it was under cover of Week 1 NFL. But there is nothing that can hide that the Clippers are collapsing right now, and the Nuggets have a renaissance. Frank Isola, why and how is LA blowing this?
It's amazing. Jokic has been terrific for Denver, but the Clippers, who have never, ever, ever, ever been in the conference finals. Yeah. That is the worst loss in franchise history. They better win tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. L?
Well, the Clippers are losing in part because Doc Rivers stubbornly will not take Montrezl Harrell out towards the end of these games. He is a minus 60 and a huge liability. And for absolutely no reason, he keeps just trying to make that work.
Calling out Doc Rivers.
I hate it.
Ubuntu in there just to make it, you know, copacetic. But okay, point L. Duncan. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Football team wins. It's an actual accurate headline from the NFL Week 1. Carson Wentz, 3 turnovers. Washington gets the W. And how the Bears came back on Detroit. 3 fourth quarter touchdowns from Mitchell Trubisky. Stafford, the interception late. But then the touchdown pass later that was dropped in the end zone. Was this about Washington and Chicago's wins or Philly and Detroit's losses, El?
Yeah, I think it's more about the losses. I mean, Carson Wentz just started doing his version of duck hunt, throwing ducks up there, and the Lions had a chance to win if DeAndre Swift catches that ball. Mm-hmm.
Somehow, Nick Foles is involved with all of this because they thought about bringing him in at halftime of the game. Maybe he should still be on the Eagles, but Carson Wentz, that's bad.
Unbelievable. Wow. Philly is still having this debate and this conversation. You're right about that, yeah. Frank Isola. Points. Isola, that's the tiebreaker. 30 seconds of FaceTime goes to Frank Isola.
Wow, there we go. Hey, in New York, guess what just finished up? The U.S. Open. Unfortunately, no fans here. But what a show that this week. You had Djokovic get kicked out. You had Serena losing the semis. But in the finals, Naomi Osaka, after dropping a set 0-2 in the second set, came back and won. And then how about Dominic Thiem? Rallies from losing the first two sets for his first major victory. Really incredible U.S. Open.
Osaka dropped a set early. She dropped the mic when she won with Tom Rinaldi. That was the best post-match interview I've ever heard in my life.